to 4.2 flag policy, and I would ask Heather Cook if she would come forward. I would ask our CAO and Heather as to how they would like to proceed with this presentation this morning.
So there's a lot of information in this report. Heather found a ton of information online. So in summary, because I assume you kind of all had a chance to go through it, we receive a number of requests from community organizations and other independent groups throughout the year. And we have been attempting to appease everyone, but it's been kind of sporadic. So to Councillor Fancy, who said, you know, we probably should have something in writing, we should have a policy, so something more consistent that we can follow, because we're just kind of randomly appeasing each of these organizations as they come forward. Also, it will give us an opportunity to have a list of the various organizations and the various times of year and months, so we can better schedule, and hopefully we don't leave anyone out, and we don't have to worry about kind of random requests coming into staff for everyone. So what's before you is the compiled information of everything that Heather found online, and the information she received when speaking with some of the municipalities directly, and a draft policy for your consideration.
So Heather, do you have anything to add to that at this point?
Not at this point. I can jump in when there's questions.
Okay. Any questions or comments of councillors this morning? Councillor Fancy?
I'll be a little while.
You'll have three questions and then you'll return.
That's exactly. First off, I'd like to thank Heather. I mean, this is an extensive amount of work she went through to bring all this information together. And I mean, it's just incredible. I really, really commend her for all the hard work. The one thing I'd like to say at the start to somebody, funny, we're coming up with this flag policy, and somebody said the other day up to the Milton post office, the Canadian flag that flies there, that's getting pretty ratty. And they said, who do I approach about getting that change? I don't know if that's ours still or not.
No.
At the post office, no. There is an inventory in the package of the municipally owned flagpoles that we maintain, and what flags fly on those. It's Appendix A, and it'll be part of the policy should the policy be approved.
The one thing that Bill Cox, as I mentioned here when we first started talking about the flag policy, said that back years ago somebody had brought up about having a flag policy, and they went away from having a flag policy because there are so many community groups that could ask for a flag that they said, look, we don't want to get involved in that because, you know, it could be anybody for any little thing. They call themselves a community group. So how do you differentiate between community groups? So the one thing I noticed that a lot of it is going on about community groups. I don't know if that's a good way of, no, just only my opinion, the way of approaching that as community groups, as going back to looking at provincially or federally recognized. I actually went down to Kim Maslin's office to try to find out what they would talk about when we talk about provincially or federally recognized, because we want to know what's really recognized, what does that mean, so that you can be able to understand. And I always look up the old easy way, and that's just looking up online just what the recognition is, to be able to understand that if we're going to say that things need to be recognized. And it says that the definition is formally acknowledged or accepted as valid. And then it said in brackets, it said like a recognized organization. So if they're a recognized organization, and they're recognized as Canadian-wide or provincially-wide, then that gives them an idea of that they could be able to apply. And that keeps you away from say we're the painters guild or whatever, I don't, you know, I'm just saying something, because anybody could come and ask us if we're saying we're a community group.
And that's a very good point, because we were having a hard time even just finalizing this list or shortening this list, because
right.
it can vary, it can be pages and pages long.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's part of what we, yeah, she's, that's what she's got right there, is all that she found.
Oh, I know.
All I found of recognized
and
dates.
And that's why we were kind of looking at, of trying to determine a time frame as well, the 2 weeks, and then putting in that application process where each request comes forward to council for approval.
Right.
Unfortunately, it may leave council at some point choosing between different ones. That's something we have to consider, obviously, too. But it may be something as simple as first come, first serve. But yeah, it does make it difficult, because the list is extensive.
That's right. So that's why, if you could come to this, if this could be, because like I said, I've tried to get from Kim, and she wasn't there, so of course she's still off and the settings. But they were looking, trying to look into to, so we could look at what recognized means.
Mm-hmm.
And recognize just you're validated, you know why. So I think
typically for, excuse me for interrupting, but typically for things like our grant programs, you have to be registered with the Registry of Joint Stocks as a nonprofit organization,
right.
Typically, to be considered for grants. So that was the, and that could be clarified.
Around the community organizations
yeah,
piece.
Around the community organizations
yeah.
piece.
More of a thought in our head.
Yeah.
But there might be, there could be things outside the community organizations, and that's, you know.
And that would be for council to
yeah,
determine,
so,
yeah. I
would say. Anyway, I'd like you to consider
mm-hmm.
that, but I think we're open. That's what Bill Cox has said, that's why they went away from that, because it was just too big, too vast. And to be able
it
to
is vast, and even formally acknowledged is slightly vague and can still encompass a number of groups. So we may want to look at provincial or national.
Yes, that's what I say, federally or provincially.
Councilor Fancy, to add to that, Appendix C contains a list of flags that would be flown on a regular basis throughout the year without
that's
coming
right.
before council for consideration.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Yeah. But if you don't try to get this into a smaller group, it's going to be a nightmare. And how we're going to handle that. So anyway, what I want to do is just let somebody else go on, and I'll come back, and I've got other things.
Thank you, Councillor Fancy. Councillor Johnson?
Well, I'd like to, at least we're starting down the road.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is that part of my question is, we now know the why and what we're actually flying a flag or getting that narrowed down. And it kind of ties in with the next item on the agenda around Proclamation Week and that sort of stuff. My biggest question is the where. You know, noticing from Appendix A, there's absolutely no exposure in North Queens of a regional flag.
That's right.
You know, we have no exposure. So how do you go about gaining that exposure? You know, is that an application to be something as simple as Board of Trade, or the BIC doesn't, you know, they maintain something that far less than what I would class as a flagpole with a piece of pipe in the ground and that sort of stuff. But I guess we need to look at the where we fly in as well. And our exposure in the community.
It's only the one alternate pole done by the BIC. The rest of the poles, even though we've given you a full inventory of them, those will remain Canadian or Nova Scotia or Regional Queens flags. It's only the one flagpole at the VIC that will change based on this policy and based on these organizations. Now, given that exposure in North Queens, it may be something we consider approaching the Board of Trade for, if you'd like to have an alternative.
So, at the next Board of Trade meeting, I can talk to them about making a request to the region that have presence there with a flagpole that may, even if it only did fly the Canadian and the regional flag, at least it gives us some presence. It isn't a, looks like something I get stuck inside of my house off the side of the VIC, that the flag is ratty at the best of times.
And that would be determined, of course, also by looking at the, and I didn't look to see what you're allowed to fly under the Canada flag.
There are,
sorry, I'm hoarse. There are stipulations around what you can and can't fly under the Canadian flag and how those protocols work.
But again, I'm into the what we fly.
Yep.
I'm more concerned about the where we fly.
And it would pertain also to the half-mast part of the policy as well, so for the Canadian and Nova Scotia flag.
That would be part of the application process as to how you're gonna manage that particular flag pole or structure.
So the Board of Trade doesn't have a flag pole now?
Pardon me?
The Board of Trade doesn't have a flag pole now, like there's no visible flag pole that you can think of in North Queens area now?
Far less than what I'd ever class as a flag pole. There is an iron pipe stuck in the ground.
Is there anything at the VIC? Is there anything at the VIC?
Well, that's where the VIC is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the VIC presence.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's several flag poles, there's one at the fire department, one at the exhibition ground, but it's maintained by those organizations.
Thank you, Councilor Johnson. Any councilor who hasn't spoke? Councilor Frelick?
I'm surprised that we've done a fair amount of work on this, and I'm wondering how many requests did we receive for flags on that meet pole?
This year, the list is on here of who.
These were requests, or these are ones that we just put up because it was National Bike Week. Did the bikers come storming in looking for a
They're based on requests. They've made us aware.
The biking?
Well, we don't source. So, yeah, it's people have made us aware of.
Okay, so for National Bike Week, we just didn't put up a flag. We had a request to put up a flag.
That's right.
Is that correct, Heather?
Yeah, maybe you can.
I'm not sure. I wasn't involved in that process.
Well, I'm finding that hard to believe. But what I'm not seeing on here is the communication policy, because when, at the tie-in, because when you put up the bike flag and you put up the Aboriginal flag, there was postings and comments about it. And then when you put up the pride flag, there was nothing. So I think that part of this whole thing is making sure that everybody's on an even playing field and that there is a communication strategy tie-in with the flying of the flag, because you know, all these groups want to be validated, just as we said before, and I don't see that as any part of this policy. So I would like to see that before we move forward with this particular one.
Deputy Mayor Clark?
I like that idea. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but are you suggesting that the beginning of Bike Month, May, that we do a publicity on our website?
We did.
We did for that one, but others you haven't, right?
So
I like that idea, and actually what it does is it also alerts the public to the fact that these special months are being held. Sometimes you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just by accident read it in the paper on Saturday that this was the beginning of the Foster Parent Appreciation Week, you know? I didn't know that until I saw it in the ad in the paper from the Foster Parent Association.
It's a valid point.
Yeah. So if they're up there and we publicize it, then that gives the public general more information
mm-hmm.
about these special weeks as well. And that's what you want to do, provide awareness.
Yes, and we also do that when we go half-mast
yeah.
as well
yeah.
to advise the public as to why. And that's not in the policy either. But I will make note of those.
Any other councillor that hasn't spoken at this point? Councillor Kelly?
Well, I just say, when I read this first, it really does bring light to the fact that how much actually goes into deciding as a region what we do and what we don't do and how it affects staff time, how we do it, and being fair, which
mm-hmm.
I really appreciate in the report is coming across as fairly, how to fairly do something like this, right? I totally agree that we should be doing this because, well, the fact is we're doing it already. And we don't have a policy around it. So we really need to have a policy around what we're doing or how to do it, including what we're doing now and making it more transparent. I don't believe that we're gonna have too much of a problem because I don't believe that there's gonna be, you know, loads and loads of groups there. banging down the door trying to get their flag up on that pole. I mean, I guess you got to remember too, the group has to have a flag.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it has to be, I don't know how flags go, it doesn't say anything there about flag protocol. They do have to register flags, or can anybody just make a flag? But usually recognized groups will have a flag, and those are probably the only ones that are going to ask us to put up a flag, because they're the only ones that actually have a flag. And I like the idea, I agree totally. We have one flagpole in our county's capital that we fly and recognize, and I agree with the communication policy around if we are doing something, we should be talking about why we're doing it and what it is we're doing. And if it's a first come, first serve basis, straightforward. Who's ever got the communication
mm-hmm.
first for it, that's who gets it.
And that's on
straightforward,
the phone as well.
Absolutely, straightforward. So I see this as being very straightforward. We can complicate it as much as we want, but it's pretty straightforward. It's a great information. Thank you very much.
Councilor Fancy.
Okay. Going back there is again, it's first come, first serve, but the thing is if we open it up to community groups and all of a sudden somebody says we are the Painters Guild, and somebody says, okay, it's Autism Week, and all of a sudden we lose Autism Week to the Painters Guild, you don't want something like that to happen, right? So that's why if you put it into things that are more, that are nationally or provincially acclaimed or recognized, I think that's what that the, and I'll take autism as a particular, say, I think it was April, first week of April was Autism Week, and they have a flag with the puzzles they put, you know, you put together and things like that. So you say, okay, let's take them in particular, say, okay, they, once, are you going to have a lot of people ask? I think you will, once you let people know that they can do it. And once they start seeing other flags up there, then people say, oh, well, we could put a flag up for us and things. So it can start something that you haven't had before, because, but the other end of it is that once you put the flag up, then it becomes, then you can go with the recognition. And this is what
mm-hmm.
Councilor Frelick is saying. Once the recognition starts going out, and we're saying, okay, this week is going to be this, we're going to be putting our flag up, we're going to be putting it on the website, we're going to be doing things maybe down at the VIC, that we could be able to have things there to recognize what's going on. But you're getting close to proclamations then. So you got to be, you know, and that's going to be something else we'll talk about as we get going forward.
And I think what we'll do, because I do like that idea, and I don't want to miss anyone or any recognition and awareness associated with flying those flags.
Mm.
So we did say that they have to have a flag, so that's going to limit some of the groups, obviously.
Yeah.
But in our application, where we ask them to provide us with a flag, I think we'll ask them to provide us with any kind of print or media release or any information, kind of
mm.
summary of the organization and what they do and what they stand for, and what they're, if they're specifically recognizing something for their organization that week or that 2 weeks or that month. And so we'll add right in the beginning part of our application that they can provide us with the print that they are going to be using for advertising.
And they can have attachments,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Thank you, Councillor Fancy. Councillor Johnson?
Well, the only piece that I'm, you know, again, I go back to actionable and consistent action, and I
mm-hmm.
think what we need to do, yes, once we have the policy, then it has to definitely be earmarked and made some staff's responsibility that they administer the policy consistently. And it wouldn't be different than have three or four different people, because I see it gets dropped off at the rec department. Is the rec department going to be the proper department who administer this? Is there a specific staff member earmarked to do that? Because that's where a lot of
currently
times this
Dana
thing falls off the
does
rails.
Dana gets it because she, it goes through the, currently the requests were going through our former CAO, and the forms were coming in, like, well, not forms, but any requests were coming in through Dana because the grounds
the
department are the people that look after putting flags up and down, so she was the connect for them. So, but that can change. I mean, that can be
well,
to the CAO's office.
84.3.6 specifically says to advise the CAO's office of the
yep.
details. So it's going to go through the CAO office.
Yep.
But it will also,
it
according to the application, be dropped off at the Economic Development
mm-hmm.
Recreation Department and that's in the building with
mm-hmm.
the staff there, which would be
mm-hmm.
Dana.
My only issue is that it's consistent, because that's where we get into having
mm-hmm.
to be reactive versus proactive, because somebody, something gets
counselor have a question or comment?
Just one more question, and that's the how these will be chosen, because it says it comes back to council. Well, that's good to come back to council, but is there going to be some times of time, because you can say within a week, you know, you can make your application. Well, the
it's a month. It's a month.
It's a month?
Yeah.
Okay. So
prior to their date.
I'm just wondering, does it have to come back here? Or if they meet the guidelines, it just automatically, you just do it through your office?
It's advisable to come to council if you have two applications and you can only select one. It's not a staff responsibility to choose.
If there's conflict, it should come back here.
It necessarily won't be first come served. First served, if there's a flag request that's not appropriate, you wouldn't approve it. So it can't be first come served.
But that's all taken care of in the policy, right? It says if it's not appropriate, it wouldn't be considered. It's not the first come, first served with applications that meet the guidelines.
I understand exactly what you're saying, but if you have two and one is in conflict with the other, they may both be appropriate. You will need a decision to make.
First come, first serve. First come, first serve.
Then you can't say that if you're not going by it.
So where does it say first come, first serve in this policy?
Over and over.
Yeah, all the way through.
On the application form. I don't know if it actually says it in the
policy. Takes care of what's appropriate, what would be deemed appropriate and what not. So if you get one on Monday at 1 o'clock and it doesn't meet the criteria and it gets tossed out, another one comes in at 2 o'clock, that's the one that goes forward. One comes in at 3 o'clock, sorry, you lose.
I would say we probably should bring them regardless. Only because somebody may say that we've got the time wrong or that, that
I can take that off then.
A staff person didn't take it in hand in time and mark it with the correct time on it. I still think that all approvals should come through to council for their final consideration, except for the ones that we specifically mark in the appendix. Those ones don't have to come forward to council again. We know those recur every year, and those are the few that we have there now. So those ones won't have to come through. But I think otherwise, it really needs to be, and that actually adds more to the awareness as well, right? The awareness and the recognition that it's on a public agenda.
And if one comes, can I speak?
Yes.
If one comes through on a Wednesday of the last week of the month and they want to get in, then the next one is the second week, and then they've just bought, their thing was then, that week, their thing was the first week of the month that they want to celebrate.
Then they'll be required to put it in 1 month in advance or miss their opportunity.
That's the deadline on these, is a month ahead, so that they, if they miss the first council, they can get the second one. They shouldn't miss.
Councilor Fancy?
But then again, going back to, like you said, what was mentioned here about first come, first served, we have to be so careful that, you know, you don't have, like, the Painters Guild apply a week before Autism Awareness Week.
I'm going to look in my list and see if there is a Painters Guild.
I'm just trying to put something out there that doesn't exist, so I don't feel like I'm hitting somebody, right? I'm just trying to say something out there that doesn't exist. So all of a sudden, the Painters Guild said they wanted to do this, and Autism Awareness Week said, we'd like to do this. Well, I'd like to see them both. Doesn't matter who applies.
Because I think when we're thinking the first come, first serve, we're thinking if you both ask within the same week, and one is more nationally recognized than another, you know, that choice may have to be made. I don't think we can go by the hour of the day of the, you know what I mean? We're going to have to, within reason.
Yeah. That's why I don't know.
So there will have to be choices.
I don't think you should put in there first come, first serve. That's what I'm saying. It should be said, you reply and be brought to council.
And be brought to council. If we have two asked for the same week, we're going to bring it to council for their choice.
Councilor Kelly?
I think if there's nationally or provincially recognized groups that have flags and you think that they're going to come forward, then they should be on the list like Pride or Bike Week or whatever else that we already put up there.
We have
those. Then you're going to get. Then you're going to get into the point, and you're going to. I think that you're going to annoy the community. We say we can have something up the flagpole, but we keep getting pushed back because it's always Autism Week that week, or it's always this, or it's always that. You know, it's starting to get complicated. If we're starting to choose which is better, just because they're provincially or nationally recognized, you know,
that's
is
why
this
we
a,
didn't
is
have
this a
policy.
Local, yeah, exactly, so it's, you know, we have a list of ones, those that in the policy should be, these are the regular recognized, and everybody else falls in the same category, or else we're going to be here deciding between who's more important than anyone else. It should be a level playing field.
You are, unfortunately, as a counselor, going to have to make difficult decisions when applications roll forward.
Well, it's unfun, but we can make policy so that those that so that it's an even playing field.
Appendix C.
Yeah. So if autism is not on there, or if you think there's another provincially or federally recognized group that we need to recommend for a committee, then put it on that list.
And with that comes the requirement for the Region of Queens to have flags for everyone on that list, which we may or may not have a request to fly. So you have to look at the cost side of it as well. So the policy as it's drafted allows for counselors to make that decision and requires that association to provide a flag. Once you put it on the list, we automatically have to have those flags whether they want them to fly or not. So that's the difficulty of the policy. But staff have heard the discussion today. Staff will take this back and review this and come forward later with a draft policy for council perusal. Heather, would you like to say
something? I just have one more thing to add. If you look at Appendix C, African Heritage Month is one that we haven't done before. I put that forward on the list and spoke to the staff at the Black Loyalist Heritage Center in Shelburne and asked what would fly, like if our council approved this, what flag would you fly? Is there a designated flag? And they said there isn't for that month. They suggested the Pan-African flag, which is what is flown during Kwanzaa. Pan-African. It's red, black, and green bands. And they were very excited that our council might consider this, because if we fly it, we'd be the first in the province to do so during African Heritage Month.
So you would append,
it is on
adjust
the
appendix C?
It is on the list. As something that is being brought forward for consideration.
And so that's just in checking to see if there was something that could fly.
Yeah,
then
they were very excited to think
really
that we might.
Yeah, otherwise our list is just really the ones we know of who have already asked in the past. We didn't, other than that one, we didn't go forward and
no, we didn't go and look.
To source others. So.
Sure.
I mean, obviously Appendix C could be amended throughout the year if suddenly we realize we're going to have more recurring.
Yeah,
the possibility
or there could be
to
a
amend that.
One that kind of jumps off the paper to me is, of course, my background is NAOSH, North American Occupational Health and Safety Week. Mm-hmm. That would be one that, especially where we employ staff and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
We all have to follow that provincial policy act.
So have we all had a discussion on this item today?
Yep.
Any more comments, questions? Thank you very much, Heather. So we will move on to 4.3, proclamation policy, and Heather and Jennifer, you can lead us forward on this one.
So we took a different stance on the proclamations. We can receive 4 and 5 requests for proclamations in another week. They require a substantial amount of print, normally, and a certain amount of recognition or awareness, multiple avenues that proclamations or those requesting them want to see those printed and advertised. That is a little trickier because there's a lot of proclamations or a lot of organizations or groups requesting proclamations that are quite contrary to other groups who request recognition with proclamations. So I believe that if the multitudes of requests for proclamations were to come forward to council each time for approval, it would really kind of bog down the system. It requires a lot of staff time to print these, but I think that council would be faced with a multitude of decisions and choices to make, which would be contrary to a properly flowing council. there's so many that come forward and they want to believe good about that. I think to say, to stick with the status quo and the proclamations would be my recommendation.
I didn't hear what you said, Tori.
My recommendation is we remain status quo and that our policy on proclamations is that we do not.
Heather, do you have any comments?
Not until.
Okay.
I can jump in.
Councilor Fancy?
Of course, since I brought it forward, I'm going to speak on it a bit. I think there you go again. Again, the same thing when we talk about flag policy, you've got to be able to make it so it's streamlined, to be able to make it so it's workable for you fellows. I mean, it's no good if you're just going to get bogged down in everything. But if we go back to that nationally and provincially, acknowledge that the flag is flying, if you make the flag flying, then you can make proclamations. That's my thoughts. So then with that, if you could say something like, if you had go back to autism, I try to just keep on one thing so I don't feel like I'm picking on everything. But you say Autism Week, you said, okay, Autism Week is April 2nd, and that's going to, we're going to have a, that we've proclaimed this, that we're doing this, so it becomes provincially and nationally known, and that we could be able to have a meeting over to Queen's Place, that we have a meeting up in the Queen's Place room, and we get everybody together with talking about autism. We start doing things down at the VIC, not just on our website, but it becomes a meeting, a big meeting that we could get together and become recognized here in Queens that we're showing forth Autism Week, and we're going to have a special meeting for this, and trying to make it and so it's being proclaimed, not just being put on their website that everybody, oh, really, was there something going on this week? I never looked on the website. No, we proclaim it. So then we can be able to gain so much more traction on these things.
I think we could still recognize various organizations and groups such as Autism Week by perhaps setting up some kind of a function or having the organization do a talk at Queen's Place. I don't see why we couldn't schedule events around that. I don't think that those need to be related to proclamations, because again, there are so many various, we don't have that specific requirement that we do with the flag policy to say, you must have a flag and you must provide the flag to us. That helps limit the list somewhat in that policy. Proclamations, you need to be able to have put in writing as is, where is, whereas, you know, and it doesn't really limit your list, and it makes your list rather vast. The requirements to come forward with a request for proclamations is rather not limiting, it's very broad.
Do you have a second part?
Yep.
But the only thing is, it's like Heather said, when you talked with in Shelburne, and they wanted to, if you were talking about Black Heritage Month, once you talk with them, it's like, oh, this is exciting, because you've just talked to one group. You haven't talked to the province, you've just talked to one group. If you could put that out so the province sees it and says, wow, they're having autism meeting up here, and so all over the province, people start coming, because who's going to read our website?
Not saying no to that, not saying that we can't recognize these things. I'm just saying we shouldn't have to be forced to pick and choose amongst the various proclamations, because invariably you will have a group that is contrary to another group, and you will choose one and offend another. You need to limit, it's best to limit or not choose. And consistency.
Well, I just said it because I looked at all the people that there was, I think it was 14 chosen, 14 looked at, and they do proclamations. So other people are doing it. I mean, they're getting away with it. So it's not like we're setting a new table that's being done. So it's not a matter of doing it. It's how we do it to make it workable. I don't even throw suggestions, but I hate to see missing out. We could do a great thing here. If we can be able to operate properly.
It would be a long list, and it would take multitudes of staff time.
Just for clarification, if you're talking about nationally recognized like just looking at nationally or provincially recognized days. I printed off the list of days recognized, or weeks or months, recognized by Health Canada. And there's a, and this is just me quickly counting here, there's about 138 of them. So that's 138 proclamations that you're potentially looking at, just on Health Canada. And then there's the, you know, the federal government's declaration of special days and months, and that's not even getting into provincial. So it does.
It's a very, very vast.
But how do the others do it? I'm just saying that, because they do it, and they get away with it. So
60% do it well.
We'll do it well, yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Just to clarify the definition of proclamations, because like we're talking about these weeks, which we just dealt with in our flag policy.
Yeah.
So aren't we really proclaiming basically an attention to that recognition if you put a flag up for those specific weeks?
No, a proclamation is a statement approved by council.
A statement, so okay. So each one of those would have to come before council.
Correct.
It's like it isn't anything that we proclaimed here as something new. We're reinforcing it, repeating it. Okay. I really don't think that is quite necessary at this point. I mean, you've got, like you say, we used to do it years ago, not proclaiming things, but recognizing a specific person in the community that has done well. What could we have before?
And that's different.
And that would, yeah, exactly. That would be presented to council. And
mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of it. It's like a written something or other. Not a,
it's a an award of recognition.
Something like
I think
that.
So.
Yeah. So really, this would really put a lot of effort and time into something that really, with the amount of recognition it would get.
Councilor Crowley?
I'm confused, I guess, about this, because we're saying in one breath that the Black Heritage Month, they're happy that we're going to put a flag, and yet in the 5 years we've only ever had one Black History event, and that was one that I organized, but yet we haven't done anything else to follow up on that. So a proclamation would at least give us some sort of acknowledgement other than, you know, putting it on Facebook, because there's tons of people that aren't just on Facebook, so we're online. So there has to be a way to find a balance in this. So maybe you set a limits to proclamations per month and do this first come, first served again. There has to be a way. It's being done successfully in other communities. I don't like our attitude as just too much work, we're not going to do it, and has a whole negative approach to it. I think that our job is to find a way to find a balance and to do it, because if it's a request from council that we find a way to do it, then we should be looking at how we can make it work, not just writing it off saying it's not worth it, too much time, because you just spend a lot of time on a flag policy that's now getting complicated with applications. You have staff time, you have, you know, grounds people, and we made that work. So there has to be a way to make proclamations work. I don't accept the fact that we should just say, no, status quo. That is not what we're about. We're about finding ways to make it work and find the balance between the 200 and zero.
So you think by accepting the flag policy, putting the flag policy in place, recognizing the flags, that is our compromise? So we will now recognize these groups that request the flags, but we don't want to get into the extremely large lists of hundreds who may, once they've been made aware of, are accepting of proclamations. I mean, if we get four or five a week, some weeks, requesting, when we have a policy that says we do not, what would that list look like if we had a policy that we do? I really think that by initiating this flag policy and requesting your applications and your provision of the flags that you would fly for your recognition and the media release of the type grant that goes with that, that it has compromised some on this between the flags and the proclamations, that we're going to do this part now?
To a degree, you're right. But I also think that we're missing opportunities where we should be able to have a proclamation or have something more than a flag for Black History Month. We should have more than a flag for Pride Month. We should have more than that. And you're talking about having events. Well, maybe we can have events to go along with that. So that is staff time. That is after hours time. That is a lot of work. But yet you're throwing that out on the floor saying that could be a possibility.
If I may, I don't remember staff saying that staff would provide an event. I was expecting
organized.
It would be a community event.
I was just going to say that. But we could probably initiate the contact, or as part of your application and us corresponding or communicating with you through your application and provision of your flag and the provision of your print material, that there's a possibility that we suggest that they hold a talk or they hold a seminar or they hold a kind of a public meet and greet sort of thing at Queen's Place. We would suggest that the organization may want to put something like that on, but it wouldn't be something that staff would put on. We're obviously not the experts on each of the multitudes of organizations and what they stand for, but we would certainly suggest it each time we make contact with these organizations through their applications.
Well, to date we haven't really done a great job with that because there haven't been a lot of celebrations of, that's putting up a flag. That's not educating people. That's not, we have to start somewhere. So I agree with that. Maybe this is our somewhere. Maybe this is the start of something. If we can find a way, figure out a way to do it. If you just say no, then we're never going to be able to move forward with this. And the community has spoken. They wanted proclamations, part of the community. So I think it would be remiss if we didn't explore all the possibilities. And I believe that just saying no, at status quo, is not exploring anything. I think it's just making it easy on everybody.
Deputy Mayor McFadden?
We're all brainstorming here, and I have a thought, so I'll just share it with you. It says in one of these other municipalities that they post notices, say at their town hall or at these public places like Queen's Place. And when your suggestion about having an event at Queen's Place, could we offer that, and I don't know what type of requests you have when you say you get 3 or 4 a week. Are they local requests, or are they requests that come in from provincial or national weeks that say, okay, would you do something with your local council? What are the requests that come in? An example of?
Most of them are from out of Queens.
Out of Queens, okay. So, could we offer, if there is a local component to it and local organizations that are proclaiming something or want us to help spread the word about the importance of their work, could we offer a free room at Queen's Place or the town hall lobby or somewhere to offer to them if they want to have the time to help provide awareness for the organization? Is that
we
possible?
Have a policy for nonprofit groups to use Queen's Place so many hours. So many hours a month?
It's 4 hours.
4 hours a month.
Mm-hmm.
So we currently have a policy in place that nonprofit organizations can use 4 hours of meeting room time, community room time at Queen's Place per month. So
if a request comes in, even though it's not locally requested, but there is a local component, there is, say, a Queen's County division of, let's talk about autism. They're starting to form one now anyway in Queens. There is a Lunenburg one. So, for example, if that came in and said, this is autism, whatever, we'd like to help you proclaim it as, and we have a policy that said we don't proclaim something, but are you aware that you can use this facility 4 hours a month or whatever, once, or whatever the policy says, and just let them know on the local level that's possible?
Absolutely. If we're contacted, we would make them aware of that. I don't see why we wouldn't.
Even if you weren't, like, say you get a letter, because usually this comes through letters, does it? And if you knew that there was a local component of that, or a local organization, make a phone call from this office instead of them contacting us. Say, we understand, we got this request, but this is how we can deal with it, which is much more better. They get much more exposure from doing their own local event with facilities that is provided free to them.
To add to that, a group such as the Cancer Society will send out requests for proclamations to many municipal units. They have volunteers within Queens, but they perhaps do not have, in all organizations, a formal Queens County chapter. So if you're going to look at a request for proclamation from someone such as the Cancer Society, they're looking for a proclamation through council. That's what they're looking for. They're not looking for a meeting space. And there's a number of those. So you end up with a separate proclamation for each one if you're going to return the proclamations.
You have to make a judgment on it.
Yeah, but you can. That's the process that you set up. We received one Lyme disease issue and request the same proclamation. We did advise them that we don't do proclamations at that point in time, and we asked Heather to put it on the Facebook page, which occurred to enlighten Queens County residents of the risk of Lyme disease. So that is how we handled that one. And we've done that for a number of them.
We've done that for a number of them, yeah.
The policy, to my understanding, has been discontinued years ago for several reasons. One is the amount of proclamations. As a regional municipality, it's quite significant. And secondly, if you had a request from pro-abortion, as an example, and they wanted a proclamation to support their position on abortion not being prohibited. And if you had another group came that was pro-life that wanted us to support not having abortions available, then you make a decision which group you support, both nationally acclaimed. Those are the issues that previous councils tried to stay away from because they're controversial, and that is the reason for the policy in part. So I just wanted to share that with you. You'll have more than one that you would need to look at, but that's certainly just one mention. Councillor Kelly?
I think that the whole idea of proclamations could be a good thing when it comes to recognizing community members doing things or businesses or whoever, to create community pride and a way to keep track of those things, because I don't think we keep track of these. I've always had the idea that, you know, there's a lot to be said for community pride, and that building up our community sort of moves on to a lot of other things, you know, gets rid of, you know, one of the things we have to deal with is getting rid of the negative. If we can create community pride and continue to increase the community pride and you know, we all hear talked about a lot, you know, so-and-so got a gold medal in that, and so-and-so is going to nationals, or, you know, there's all of these people in our community that are doing wonderful things, winning awards and doing well in their businesses and things like that, that we should shout about, and maybe this is a way that we shout about them and keep track. I mean, I've always said I would love to see it, the Region of Queens put on some sort of an annual event that recognized everybody throughout the year. Maybe proclamations in this particular area would allow us to keep track of that and to recognize everybody that did well in our community. We, you know, we see Kim Maslin now, you know, every single time she's in the legislature standing up and recognizing local small things that people are doing in the community to create a better community pride, to create an atmosphere in their community and show the good. You know, right from Shelburne all the way, she finds a way to make it happen and what they put in. Maybe all we have to do is define what proclamations means to us, and I'm not sure if that's possible. Is proclamation a thing that's out there, that it has to be this and has to be that? If we just recognize, do proclamations for our local community and recognize what's happening in our community, that's got to have some sort of benefit to Queens County.
And we do have two programs. We have the Ripple Effect, which recognizes individuals in one aspect.
Yeah.
And the South Queens Chamber of Commerce is bringing out the Best of Queens Awards, which will recognize business people. So there are opportunities to do that outside of the proclamations policy.
But what I'm saying is proclamations are officially recognizing that within the Region of Queens. It gives it that sort of level that, you you know, yes, those people are out there doing it. South Queens, so we should be proclaiming the people who win those awards or the people that are doing amazing
and
things.
You have
in our
an ability
community.
To do that, to recognize them in council, other than a proclamation.
And we often
right.
do. We recognize gold medal winners. We recognize award winners. Van Dykes.
But there's no policy for that.
But council, any of you can bring that recognition motion forward to the floor at any council meeting. That is not a proclamation, and that would
okay.
not fall under this proclamation category. That's not the same thing. We wouldn't proclaim that somebody won a medal. We will recognize, and we do awards of recognition, and we will bring motions forward where council recognizes that this person has won such and such an award. But that is not what a proclamation is.
Okay.
Proclamations are very official and very, and there's various components to each of these, and they will provide in writing the very long script that goes
mm-hmm.
along with a proclamation. It's,
okay.
it's an official.
Councilor Johnson?
I think we're engineering this thing into paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to define what, in the definition of a proclamation, we're trying to identify around this table what support actually means. But I do agree with Councilor Ferley very gladly that we don't want to shut a door just because we did something for 20 years. If we're not going to support this, then let's get a little bit more fact on the table than the fact that 6 out of 18 municipalities responded. The ones that do it, you can either do it well or you can do it poorly. I think we need to have more information before we even start looking at this stuff. You know, dig a little bit deeper into the how and the why and what does it look like. Because we took up almost an hour here of time trying to design something that staff is recommending we don't even open the door to even have a look at it. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know if it's this big to get your arms around or whether it's this big based on what the people who do it and do it well. We don't have to reinvent the wheel here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get some more information to come back to our consideration. And I have no problem to say we either support it or we don't. But I can't support we don't do it because we didn't do it for 20 years.
I thought we kind of gave you that information in this package, and Heather's very extensive list on how many requests currently there are for proclamations. We could potentially receive over 200 requests for proclamations because that is what's out there.
Yeah, but that's it. But they're the ones that do it. Do they get 200 a year? And how do they deal with, like what the mayor suggested, a pro-life versus abortion? You know, how do they deal with those conflicts? All I'm asking for is, let's figure out how other people do it, instead of just saying no.
They don't have a policy, I believe, the majority of them. They just accept. They still do it.
A third have no policy. Half have policies. And almost all of them take them to council.
They all, yeah, go to council for your choice.
You choose as to
you
whether
choose.
Or not you approve it or...
Councilor Bill?
You've given us the facts, exactly what we're talking about. What you've also given us is the negative slant on it and the fact that you don't want it to move forward. So what we're looking for, give us the facts and give us some information about how we can move forward in a different version. That's all we're asking for. Just don't cut it off because you don't believe that we should do it. Give us the options of, okay, here's a different way we could do it that might work for us. That's all we're asking for.
Clarification, Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Could you advise us if you contacted all 50 municipal units?
We have through AMANS, is that the correct organization? Through
AMA.
Pardon?
AMA.
Yeah, AMA. A listserv that connects all
mm-hmm.
municipal clerks and CAOs. And Richard, when he was here, sent that request out to all CAOs and clerks to send me their proclamations policies. I believe it was 6. Sent me something. I chased and found on websites and called and emailed and kind of harassed a bit to get it up to 18 so that I'd have something reasonable to present because I didn't want to come in here and say I have information from 6.
But really, there was just no response.
The
no
flags I got a lot
calls.
Better
That's fine
response
for clarification.
On.
I
yeah.
just wanted to find out for council how many have been approached and how many responded.
Yeah, I contacted all 50.
I'm gonna move on to Councilor Fancy.
Again, what Councilor Johnson is saying, I think we're trying to figure out what we could fit and what I'd love to go back to people who are doing it and find out what the good and the bad and the ugly of it is. You know, they might say, look, we're starting proclamation, but I wish we'd never got into this. Mm-hmm. And it might be an awful thing. And maybe we don't need to do that, and at least we find out. Or they might say, it's worked fantastic. You know, maybe there are 300 different options, but we get maybe one or two a year or whatever. At least we find out somebody who was doing it, how it's worked for them.
Did any of those nine that say they have all proclamations go before council, did any of them say whether they felt it worked or with how much time it took us? Did any of them offer an opinion at all?
No.
So we'll leave that with staff to do some further investigation. Are there any other comments or questions of councilors on this item? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I just have a thought. I'm just reading this list of policy of proclamations from other municipalities, and they most of them seem to appear to be a local organization that's making a request, not all the hundreds that you're getting in here. So under the proclamation policy then, can we make a definition of what we want our proclamations to be rather than just a generic definition?
We could probably.
And that would narrow it down. We would be serving the needs of our community organizations.
And you could be perceived as being discriminatory against other charitable organizations.
No,
okay.
No,
it's possible.
That's great.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But you still might
it.
Have, and you still might have
us,
to make
please.
That choice, right? A pro-life or.
Yep.
And
you have to anyway.
Or abortion.
Yeah.
So, you know, you still might have to
just
make those choices.
Yeah, but they all do it.
Yeah. Councilor Johnson?
You had asked for a comment before we get into that tailspin. And my only comment to this is that when we do come back with the next round of information, that we do come back with what is working, what the positive side of it is. Because
yep.
I have to agree with Councilor Brody. This whole report is why we cannot do it. Let's have a little bit of why we can do it in that report.
Thank you, Councilor Johnson. Any other councilor have a question or comment before we move to the next? Thank you very much. So that brings us now to 5.0 in camera. A motion to go in camera would be appropriate. Moved by Councilor Fancy, seconded by Councilor Fraley. Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We are in camera. We'll take